Thank you very much, operator. Welcome to our conference call on the first quarter of our 2021 results. My name is Christian Ludwig. I'm Head of Investor Relations and Corporate Communications at Deutsch. With me today is my CEO, Dr. Frank Hiller, my CFO, Dr. Sebastian Schulte, and our Head of Controlling, Christian Krupp. Mr. Hiller will start giving an overview of the key highlights and financials before handing over to our CFO, Dr. Schulte, who will cover the results in more detail. As always, both will be happy to answer any question you may have in our Q&A session at the end of this call. Also, let me remind you that this call will be recorded. A replay will be available on our investor relations website after this call. Before I hand over, please also pay attention to our usual disclaimer that you will find in the presentation. Without much further ado, I hand over to our CEO, Mr. Hiller. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Warm welcome to our Q1 figures. We started the year 2021 positive. We have a clear noticeable upward trend in the market, and a significant new order growth. Orders on hand are up by around 84% year-on-year. Also a strong improvement in profitability and free cash flow in the first quarter. Further progress with the implementation of our Transform for Growth program. Target exceeded for take-up of the voluntary redundancy program. We also pushed forward, also during the crisis, our initiatives. We made no compromises towards new technology, our service growth, and international growth. The full year guidance for 2021 was raised despite a difficult supply situation. In the board, we have now four board members. Dr. Markus Müller joined as CTO and taking the responsibility for the further developments in technology. Yes, also further expansion of our commitment towards sustainability. DEUTZ has joined the UN Global Compact. Maybe some words about the further progress with our Transform for Growth program. We have successfully concluded the voluntary redundancy program. This was taken up by a total of 361 employees. Thereof, 96 employees already left the company by the end of Q1. For the full year, 2021, we will see in total 171 people leaving the company. The total reduction of the workforce is by 358 compared with the end of 2019. More or less on this point, the program has already successfully delivered the targets. With the ongoing measures, we are confident that we will reduce the gross costs by the year 2023, so end of 2022 onwards, by 100 million per year. Another important topic is our internationalization strategy, especially towards China. Joint venture with SANY remains successful. You remember in the last year, 2020, we sold already, produced and sold already 20,000 engines. This year, the target is on 35,000-40,000 engines, and in Q1, we produced around 8,000 engines. You see it on the right side. Next year, the new company or new facility will be in place, and the target is 80,000 units 2022. Capacity, which will be installed in the new factory, is 200,000, and I'm confident that we will fill up the new location within short term. You see a picture of the new facility, so the second picture from the left side, here you can assume a little bit the dimensions of the new location. Then also our activities with Bene in Tianjin are running well. So we are in the phase of ramping up the engine 2.9. Other topic in China is the purchasing organization. This is completely established, and we are now working very intensively on the localization. So it will be a very deep localization of components in China with target to lower cost for materials and logistic, and also offer us the opportunity to deliver these components also back to our facilities in Europe. Another important topic is service, as you know, and here the service figures for the first quarter, you can see a very good development. So revenue was increased by 3.2% compared to quarter one 2020. New orders even higher, 11.5%, and orders on hand increased up to nearly 32 million euro, which is a plus of around 50%. So we are on a good way to achieve our target for 2021 on the turnover or revenue side with 400 million euro. So also a lot of new measures were taken, also some new orders. For example, here with Samet Deutz Fahr, we will also deliver in the future exchange engines for this customer. New service concepts, especially here, the introduction of lifetime parts warranty, which is related to original Deutz parts, which are built in by qualified and certified service partners. Also on the network, we are working very heavily, especially in the US. We are in the phase of building up a new Deutz power center around the area in Dallas. This is planned for the second half of 2021. I'm handing now over to Sebastian Schulte for the figures.
Thank you very much, Frank. And good morning also from my side, ladies and gentlemen, to our Q1 earnings conference. Frank mentioned earlier that we do observe a noticeable upward trend in the market. And if we look at the figures in more detail, what we'll do right now, we'll see that clearly reflected. Looking at the new orders, we do see here that we increased from the Q1 2020 to current Q2 significantly by 30%. And this is pretty much across all application segments and almost all regions as well. We see also in the unit sales slight reduction overall, but that comes mainly from the reduction in the unit sales for our Torqeedo business, which, as we show here, sold a little less, coming from 8,500 units down to 6,100 units right now. But on the sort of traditional Deutz motors, we went up from 31.5 to 32,200 engines. This translates then also into an increase in revenue by 1.1%, because, as you know, our Deutz engines do reflect a higher value than the smaller scale Torqeedo electric engines. It was also mentioned earlier that as a consequence of that, high new orders, more or less constant revenues, we see a book-to-bill ratio of 1.35, whereas at the same point last year, we were on the pretty much equal 1.0 book-to-bill ratio, and as a consequence, orders on hand jump up by 48%, so that we have, as of March 31st, orders on hand in the books of almost 400 million euro, which is a very high number if we compare that with the history of the company. If we look at the revenue in detail, we see on the left-hand side our revenue breakdown by regions. And if you compare it with the same period last year, we see a pretty constant picture for Europe, excluding Germany, but also including Germany, slight increases, particularly in Germany, 3.5%. If you look at the left part of that chart, we do see a slight reduction in the Americas, 9.5%, comparing with the previous period, but that's also influenced by the difficult temperature situation we had, particularly in January and February in the States. It was a very cold period in the vast majority of the country, which led to some difficulties in delivering motors, but also performing services. So we expect this to improve over the coming weeks and months. And that's quite promising also. It shows the growth in Asia Pacific, particularly China, does show that this region becomes more and more relevant for us, fits very well to the statements from Frank Hiller on the progress of the China strategy. So look on the revenue breakdown by application segments. We do see slight improvements, construction equipment, material handling, services. We see a slight reduction in the stationary equipment, slight improvement in agricultural machinery and in miscellaneous. We do see, but on a relatively lower level there, when we compare it with the overall figures, reduction. That's driven also by the marine business coming from Torqeedo, where I mentioned earlier we were falling some 2,000 units short compared to the previous period. From the top line to the bottom line, looking at the development of the earnings, some 3 months ago, we presented here the annual figures for 2020 with a minus -74.7 million euros EBIT before exceptional items. That's what you see here in gray, obviously, with a significant drop in Q2 last year when the COVID crisis really took off. If you look at Q1 now, we're back in blacks with a 0.8 million euros EBIT before exceptional items. We do mention exceptional items here because we had a small number, 0.4 million euros, as exceptional expense due to the final settlement of our restructuring Transform for Growth program. But the 0.8, as I said, reflect the number, the operational number, and that leads us to a small but positive EBIT margin of 0.2%. So clearly here, the trend goes in the right direction, and we do see, besides the market recovery, we do see the fruits of the systematic implementation of our efficiency program at this point in time already. We do also have, obviously, we had last year at this point in time, we were negatively influenced by some payments to suppliers which went through insolvency proceedings. That issue we don't have anymore this year, so that also helped Q1 compared to previous Q1. But most important this year, what we show in the third bullet point, we do already have achieved to reduce the break-even point for the group down to 130,000 Deutz engines, which we initially had in mind to achieve pretty much over the entire fiscal year. We are there already, and that is reflected in the positive result for Q1. Going a little further, then obviously we see the same tendency in the net loss before exceptional items, where we are now still on a slight loss of 0.5, but coming from the minus 10 in the previous year, led pretty much only by the improvement in the EBIT, and that translates on an EPS basis from minus 0.08 to 0.00 EPS in Q1 2020. If we move on the on some selected figures, looking at R&D spendings, we have spent 20 million euros in net R&D in Q1. Reflecting 5.9% of sales, going down slightly compared to the previous year. It's a result of the reprioritization we undertook earlier already as a as an answer, as a response to some changes in our product development path due to the COVID crisis. So that reflects here in the numbers without harming our main growth initiatives and programs. Similar picture on the CapEx side. The first glance, it looks like a significant reduction, 62%. But if we look a bit more in detail, we have to make sure, we have to be clear that last year we had some 15 million euro due to leases recognitions, IFRS 16. So if we take them out, we come from 14 million down to 10 million. So a reduction, also a result of the responses the company took in the second half last year, in particular when reprioritization certain CapEx projects as a response to the crisis in order to be a bit more cautious on cash spending. Working capital increased slightly, 3.7% from 235 million euros up to 243.7, mainly driven by the increase in stocks due to the increase of business volume, but also due to some prolonged freight routes, freight times, particularly towards the States. On the receivable side, we are pretty constant on region of 110 million euros, so that we are managing quite well to keep the discipline here in the collecting our receivables. And the payables, we managed to increase a bit. It's a combination of increased business volume, but also more stringent work with our suppliers, where we are trying to improve sustainable here our cash conversion cycle with a lot of measures across our regions. If we move on now to the cash flow side, we do see here in the cash flow from operating activities quite a promising and positive development, coming from 11.9 negative now to 17.1. That is mainly thanks to the earnings performance I mentioned earlier, and also the net working capital, or the working capital has helped here quite a lot. And I mentioned earlier also that capital expenditure will be below that. So this is the clear result here, which we show both in the operating cash flow as well as in the free cash flow, and consequently also in the net financial position. We show here the numbers with and without lease liabilities, and you see on both numbers we are pretty constant, coming from 83.8 overall, increasing the net financial debt slightly to 87.2 as a result of the factors I mentioned earlier. If we look at the at some selected balance sheet ratios as well as the financing situation, we continue to have here quite a healthy balance sheet. We came from 45% at the year end. We're now at 44.3%, so I would say that is pretty much the same number, giving us here the comfort and confidence that the balance sheet is by far not any problem and not becoming any problem to us. Same applies to the financing situation. We are comfortably positioned here right now. We do have, and on those syndicated credit lines, we have our KfW-backed loan facility of 150 million, which we are not using and have not used and are not intending to use. This line is available until November this year. If we needed to, we could prolong. We're not envisaging to do so currently. And our slightly longer running syn loan facility of 160 million euros here, we're using up currently 65 million euros. So we are well positioned in this sort of situation right now. Long-term bank loans also, we have the repayment profile that 10.8 million need to be repaid within a year, another 11 million between 1 and 5 years, and over 5 years here we have nothing to report. Just one point which comes up often and usually in part of the questions, we do still expect an exceptional item on the cash side as well as on the profitability side of some 60 million euros from the payment of the final installments, the purchase price for the sale of the land of the Deutz area. We do expect this to happen still in 2021. There are still some uncertainties, not that the money is owed to us, but when the money is exactly being paid to us, because there are some approval missing from the city of Cologne towards the new owner of the land. We are constantly working together with both the city as well as the owners to ensure a smooth payment in the course of this year. Yeah, having said that, quick looking back on the Q1 figures, I would hand back to Frank, who will talk about the guidance.
Yeah, thank you. Coming to the guidance, group guidance for 2021. So we raised the guidance in April 19th. So now we are planning to have a unit sales of 140,000 to 155,000 engines. So this is related to purely to Deutz engines. Torqeedo is not included in that figure. Revenue of the whole group will be on a level of 1.5 to 1.6 billion euro. EBIT margin between 1.0 and 2.0 percent. Free cash flow, and here taking into account also the final installment of the purchase price for the Cologne Deutz side is so we take into account a free cash flow negative low to mid double digit million euro amount. We have the situation, and this is also here in our considerations, that the supply chain situation right now is quite difficult in the whole industry. You know that also from the automotive industry, so especially electronics are short, but also plastics and steel. We are handling the situation, I would say, quite well. For sure, we have to cut some shifts. We have to replan in the production, which more or less ends into inefficiency. But the situation is much better than in the automotive industry. We have not to shut down for several weeks our production. But this is, I would say, this is a challenge, and not having this challenge here in the year 2021 for sure, results could be even better. Looking at the midterm target for 2023-2024, nothing has changed. Our targets are more than 2 billion turnover revenue. And 7 to 8% EBIT margin. So all this is in place. We are following our strategic initiatives. On the one side, alternative drivetrains, pushing our service business further, and also internationalization, especially China, but also US now with the cooperation with John Deere. Is a clear step towards more internationalization. Also, our Transfer for Growth program will help us with the annual cost savings 2023 onwards. As you know, the program is addressing staff costs and operating costs, and the optimization of the global production network, and also the reduction of complexity. More or less so far. So we are looking very positive in the year 2021, and for sure we think that also on the supply side, supply chain topics will be improved, or will be less important by the end of the year. So quite positive outlook for the company. Thank you very much, and we are now open for your questions.
Operator, could you please open the line for questions?
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. If you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selection. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. One moment for the first question, please. The first question comes to line of Frederik Bitter with Hauck & Aufhäuser. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking my questions. I would have three, and perhaps we could do them one by one, excuse me. The first one would be, and you might have expected that already from me, but could you provide an update on current trading in April and also perhaps early May? Of course, only a couple of days. But just explain like how demand momentum and water intake has developed over the last couple of months going into Q2. That would be very helpful for us to understand the situation a bit better for you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, maybe on current trading. I think also Q2 is developing according to Q1, so there will be the order intake will be higher than the revenue, so we'll have a ratio higher than one. The problem is now really shortage on the supply side. So market is running very well. Also looking a little bit deeper into Q1 on the different segments, we can tell you that especially material handling is picking up with a very good book-to-bill ratio. So orders are more or less 48% higher than revenue. More or less same level is construction equipment, 46%. On the agricultural side, it's 20%. So more or less all in good shape, and we see no change for second quarter.
Okay, thank you. I just guess a strong indicator, and obviously the numbers given that was for Q1. So you see similar growth rates, and it's like clearly double digit year on year going into Q2, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess, but that's the message. It's quite early stage, so yeah, it's just April, and I would say in April there's no big choice, big change to the first quarter.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess that's excellent. Great, thank you. And then on the supply chain, just excuse me, trying to figure out a bit more, like how the situation has also developed in the last few weeks, say, and what are your expectations for the next couple of months? I mean, obviously noting that you mentioned earlier that by the end of the year you think it's sort of normalized. What are you seeing currently in sort of your more short-term expectations, also in terms of the material cost inflation and how you want to mitigate those effects now?
I think we have the situation since the beginning of the year, so we are dealing with that situation since more than 3 months. The economy is ramping up, and you know, everything is now a little bit screwed up. What started maybe with electronics, now you have it also on plastic side, and you have it on steel. Also, wood is short, which is not relevant for us. But I think you know all the markets are ramping up, and now it takes some time. So we expect that this will be a topic also for the Q2 and Q3. And we'll see improvements in Q4 by ramping up capacities on the supplier side, but also having, I would say, more stable supply situation. Also, if you are looking on the time, the delivery times and transportation times, so this. These are longer than in the past. For example, harbors are completely full and so on. I think it will really be a challenge for Q2 and Q3. But so far we have it quite good under control.
Yeah, that's very reassuring. And perhaps for Dr. Schulte, if you could talk a bit about the associated material cost inflation and how you are you able to pass on part of it, like a large extent perhaps, or what is your strategy to mitigate this? And obviously you made changes to the supplier structure post Halberg insolvency, and also now you talk about China ramping up procurement there, but obviously that's not going to help you very short term, I believe. But just some more, I guess, details on how you mitigate the situation to basically, well, get to your margin target ultimately, right? I mean, that's what important.
Yeah, I mean there are a lot of factors, and on the one hand, and that's what you mentioned, obviously the shortages in the supply chain make it more difficult than usually to really go, you know, and renegotiate with the suppliers, get costs down, because when you're main interest is to get the supply, then this is not the priority. However, having said that, we are currently already changing quite significantly our efforts in the procurement from managing these severe shortages we had particularly in the first month of the year, now to also go a bit more deeper also into negotiation to address cost or improve payment terms, a combination of that, you know, using all the levers which are available. That's one aspect. The other aspect is in certain supplies where we do have also effects, positive cost effects for us coming from the ramp up of volumes. And now we have contracts in place where this helps us as well. And on the other hand, when you mentioned increases in certain raw materials, which sometimes the supplier will hand over to us and as part of their contract, we do have with certain customers similar contracts as well. So we're trying to not only pass on these costs, but ideally, as you said, improve here the margin on our side. The other aspect you mentioned regarding China, I mean the increased relevance of China for our customer side also means that we are more and more changing our sourcing strategy where possible, that we're utilizing Chinese suppliers at a higher extent. It becomes more attractive for us the more we also sell into China, and that means that we're trying with these deep sourcing activities also to shift, as I said, more and more over there, obviously at improved costs as well. We have quite a few promising initiatives on that side. So overall, I'm pretty confident that having all these difficulties in the supply chain, which Frank mentioned earlier, it should not lead to the situation that in the end our cost situation becomes worse. I think there are quite a lot of opportunities in there.
Okay, that's great. Very reassuring. Thank you.
The next question comes line of Richard Schramm with HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Two questions from my side. One concerning the R&D spend, which you have scaled back. Maybe you can elaborate a bit on this. What kind of projects have been reduced here? Is it more your own, let's say, basic research, or are there customer-related projects hit by this measure? And have you been able to be, let's say, somewhere selective in what kind of projects, if it was customer-related, have been canceled, so that you might also then keep some more promising ones in your portfolio here? Thank you.
I think overall we will not see a different total different picture in the year 2021 to 2020 in the full year. So we are driving our activities for sure. We are cutting costs more on the combustion engine side, and we are investing more on the electrical drive, and also hydrogen is a big topic for us. So hydrogen engine, we are building up right now the first prototype. So it's more shift in different technologies than I would say a change in the amount. So year end, more or less, we'll see more or less the same amount, plus minus.
Okay. Understood. And just in respect of this very fashionable hydrogen topic, can you just tell us where you stand here and what the timeline is for first test to the market for your prototype you just have under development?
Yeah. Well, we see a big potential is to really use the hydrogen for the combustion engine. And we have the first engine on the test rig, but you know, it's really a prototype. To come up with serial products will be another 3 years. But there are projects going on, especially in the field of railway. This is a good opportunity, and also for stationary equipment. We are working here together with a local energy provider who takes the responsibility for the hydrogen infrastructure, and we are coming up with the hydrogen engine, and there will be the first installation. It's a test installation for sure. This will be done within the year.
Within 1 year, and so next year would be realistic.
No, you will see that this year, but it will be a test environment. And really, the first serial products, this needs another 3 years to have really a robust engine in place. And it's not only the engine itself, it's you know, it's also the infrastructure. You have also to make up your mind about the storage of hydrogen. A lot of topics have to be clarified around the engine itself.
Okay, thank you. And another question, just to check on the customized solutions, which have seen a decline here in sales in Q1. Was this related to the weather conditions, especially in the North American market, which you mentioned? And should we therefore expect a clear catch-up effect here over the next quarter?
Obviously, when you look at the customized solution, if we compare it with the previous quarter, we have reductions in almost all application fields here. It is partially related to what you mentioned, to the situation in the U.S. That's true, and we do expect a pickup here in the coming quarters. But it is also true that some of the increased volumes we see comes from the compact engines at the moment, which are pulling a bit stronger from the market there. Thank you.
So this means you're just prioritizing the compact engines at the moment, and customized solutions has to stay a bit back here.
No, I don't think it's we are not. It's not about that. We are prioritizing. It's a bit we're following here also the market at the moment.
Yeah. So, Mr. Schramm, you have to see that the customized solutions in the last year, 2020, even during the crisis, was quite stable. And now from the market side, especially the compact engines are picking up. And for sure, we also have some shortages in our production, and the pressure customer side is very much on the on the compact engines, and in some cases, you know, capacity goes more into compact engine activities.
Maybe one key figure to add or so. I mean, we talked a lot about book-to-bill, and we do have overall the book-to-bill of 1.35. If we also look at our customized solutions ratios, we also have here a book-to-bill, which is above 1.3. The outlook on that segment is, I would say, equally positive as the outlook of the overall business. Just to give you comfort on that, there's nothing we are deprioritizing. We'll have to follow a little bit the market, but the pull comes here now going forward in a similar fashion.
Okay. Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one on your telephone. The next question comes from the line of Charlotte Friedrichs with Berenberg. Please go ahead.
Good morning. I have one follow-up question about the raw material shortages, et cetera. If I recall correctly, you said at the beginning of the year that you think it's about 10,000 engines that you could have produced in the first quarter if there hadn't been the shortages. Is that still the case, and what do you expect now that you're going into Q2?
Yeah. That's right. I think the effect on the first quarter around 10,000 engines. Now our outlook for the full year of this 140,000-155,000 could be for sure higher if there would have not been restrictions by the supply chain.
Okay.
I think it would have been. It's difficult to say, just multiply it by four. That's maybe too high the figure. I think, you know, for the full year, if there would have been no constraints, maybe 20,000 more could be possible for the whole year.
I mean, it's nicely reflected in the book-to-bill ratio. It's not that we're holding back production because we want to push book-to-bill high. I mean, that's not a self purpose at all. In the end, you know, we want to give us and you the confidence that the demand is there, and not only demand, but even firm orders. Clearly, had we been able to receive more of components, raw materials, et cetera, we wouldn't have such a high book-to-bill ratio, but we would have had higher revenues, and probably the same volume of new orders or even slightly more.
The good thing is that we will not lose these engines, so this will end up in a higher or longer upward trend.
Good. Thank you. I may have missed this because I dialed in a little bit late, but with regards to the conversations that you're having with your customers at the moment, do you get the impression that Q1 had a lot of pull forward effects that you're now seeing to some extent reverse in the second quarter?
No. Well, not really.
Not really. We still, even if we look at the current trading, I mean, April as well as what we currently see for May, this pattern continues.
Perfect. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from the line of Hans-Joachim Heimburger with Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Good morning, gentlemen. This was also my question, whether you are seeing customers placing orders more or less twice to ensure supply. The second question, which was not yet answered, is generally when you look on China and the profits you generate within China, how easy is it to transfer these profits to the outside so that more or less DEUTZ Group and the shareholders can participate and that you can pay them out as dividends? Thank you very much.
Yeah. Heimburger, that's obviously a key precondition for us to grow in China, that we are able eventually, when we want, when we need to transfer the money to the parent company. The mechanisms in the contracts between us and the joint venture partner, SANY in particular, allows fully for the dividend payments towards the parent organization. You know, we need to obviously go through the coming months and years in order to generate the profits to really prove that it's possible. But we have we are here in constant or we have a diligently checked by our local legal department that this is possible. We're pretty confident that should be no harm to get the money out to the parent company.
Okay, thank you very much.
We have a follow-up question from the line of Frederik Bitter with Kepler, Hauck & Aufhäuser. Please go ahead.
Yeah, the one I was not able to pose anymore was really obviously noting that Dr. Müller has become or will become CTO now, and I think we met him 2018 was the last Capital Markets Day or so, and really had a good impression from him, very, very ambitious. But just what will be his main tasks and his main focus in this role? Why did you create it? What will he be focusing on? What initiatives you like to push? That would be super interesting to know. Thanks for that.
Yeah, I think you know we are a technical company, and for sure technical topics were always in focus within the past. But right now, coming up with all I would say alternative solutions, talking about hydrogen and electrification. So this was more or less the decision to place an additional board member having a clear focus on the technical on the technical thing. So there are a lot of new projects going on, and also you know the acquisitions we made within the last years. Torqeedo, Futavis, all technology-driven companies. So he will take care about all these topics and to bring the new technology in serial production. That's his main focus.
Maybe as an add-on, and obviously you're not. I'm sorry.
Excuse me.
Maybe as an add-on, like given obviously fairly moderate leverage level, financial leverage level of the company, is it fair to assume that you will foster more cooperation, strategic stakes in entities, maybe acquisitions even on that front, or will it be more, say, internal efforts, if you want?
It's both. It's internally for sure. We have you know electronics and mechatronics plays a completely different role than in the past. So I would say these are internal topics. But also as an example, our cooperation with John Deere, which we built up within the last year. Or last 2 years, this is also a topic, and we have further discussions. What we also see is that you know there will be a further consolidation, especially looking into combustion technology, and also here these are topics which will be driven by Markus Müller.
Yeah, understood. Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Roland Koenen with Value Holdings. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning from my side. Thanks for taking my questions. I have only one regarding the efficiency program and your targeted savings of 100 million euros from the end of 2022. Could you elaborate a bit on the run rate for this year and 2021? How much of this 100 million do we see in this year and the next year? And from today's point of view, what will the real net savings effect, as you were saying, this is a gross annual cost savings target of 100 million euros?
Okay. Yeah, sure. We can do that. As you said, we're talking about gross cost savings by the end of 2022. of around 100 million euros. We compare this always with the baseline 2019 in order to have, well, first of all, a stable baseline and also have a sticky capacity utilization of 190,000 engines here set in stone in order not to have moving targets. We can divide that mainly in roughly 40% is a decrease in staff costs, but also, and that's the other 60% where it's about reducing operating as well as warranty costs. We currently see this 100 million. We see very, very positive that this will be achieved with a bit of luck and hard work, potentially even a little earlier. But that's something we need to obviously keep working on that. When we talk on the majority, I think in terms of people, that's also quite relevant for you probably, that we have succeeded a lot with our redundancy program. We have in total agreed with 361 employees as part of this Transform for Growth redundancy voluntary program that they leave the company. And as of March 31st, some 100 employees have already left. And by the end of this year, in total, 170 employees out of that program will have left the company. So you will see that a significant part of the personnel cost savings will already be achieved by that point in time. So in total, we're well on track with the run rate of that program, and we'll keep you updated on a regular basis where we stand there.
Okay, many thanks.
As a final reminder, if you wish to ask a question, please press star followed by one at this time. There are no further questions, so I hand back to Christian Ludwig for closing comments.
Well, thank you everybody for joining the call today. Should there be any follow-up questions after the call, don't hesitate to contact the Investor Relations Department. We're happy to answer any questions you may have in the meantime. Other than that, I wish you a good remainder of the day and talk to you at the latest with our H1 results in August. Goodbye.